Daniel chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 here in just a moment as we continue our series on shining brightly in the darkness. So far we have seen that being a light in the dark, in a dark world, requires us to, from the book of Daniel, number 1, to be committed to the person of Jesus Christ and His cause, and not be a fair-weather Christian. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. This young man in a foreign land, in a foreign culture, as a slave, purposed in his heart, he committed himself to stay true to who? To stay true to the Lord. And he did. He not only made the commitment, but he followed through. We need committed Christians. If we are to be salt and light, we must stay committed. We must purpose in our heart to stay true to our Lord and not defile ourselves with the sin and lusts of the world. Number 2, from Daniel 2, we learn to trust God more and more each day and step out in obedience and faith. That's what Daniel did. He went to the king and he said, give me a little bit of time and I'll come back and I will give you the interpretation of the dream. And he trusted that when he went back and met with his friends and they gathered and they prayed to the Lord, that the Lord would give him the interpretation and would deliver them from death. He stepped out in faith. And that's what we need to do. Like David before Goliath, in the world in which we live, we need to step out in faith and say, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to witness to that person that you want me to witness to. I'm going to take a stand for what is right. I'm not going to, point number 3 from Daniel 3, I'm not going to compromise. We must stay standing and reject compromise with the world. We must not bow to it. Daniel's 3 friends were pressured with the threat of death to bow before Nebuchadnezzar's image, but they refused to bow. They refused to compromise. All they had to do was just a little bow, and it would all be over. But they refused. Sad to say, too often today, we're not the salt and light we ought to be because we think, well, it's just a little bow. It's just a small thing. A little bit of compromise doesn't hurt. But when we're compromising the doctrines of the Word of God, when we're compromising our faith, we're not being the salt and light we ought to be. And no wonder people are not drawn to people who are not committed and willing to sacrifice and take a stand for what they believe. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were courageous. And God is looking for people who are strong and courageous today, because they know God is with him. We get to Daniel chapter 4 this morning. In Daniel 3, we were commanded not to bow. In Daniel 4, we are commanded to bow. Not to bow in Daniel 3 to the gods of this world, but in Daniel 4 to bow in faith and submission to the God of heaven. Does God need to prove to you he is in charge? Have you surrendered to his authority as Lord? Do you know him as a God, or do you know him as the God? Does he get the credit that he deserves? What are your answers? From Daniel 4, we're going to look at what were Nebuchadnezzar's answers this morning. Daniel 4, 1 through 3. What are Nebuchadnezzar's answers to these 4 questions? Daniel 4:1. Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs! How mighty are his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, today for your word. Thank you for the words we just read coming from a surprising place, the mouth of Nebuchadnezzar. Lord, I pray that we today would recognize if there's a part of our life, our heart, that is not submitted to you. I pray, Lord, that we would be a humble people and that we would give you all the glory that you are due and not take it for ourselves. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn to be the mouthpiece that Daniel is here and to speak the truth. Lord, impress upon our hearts today the message that the Holy Spirit has for us. Lord, give us understanding. Lord, give us an open heart and change us into the image of Jesus Christ, our Savior, today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. In chapter 4, first of all, here, we have Nebuchadnezzar's introduction. This is his introduction to the event that we're going to read about beginning in verse 4. This introduction to the account given by Nebuchadnezzar sounds much like an official Babylonian decree from the king, and very well may have been published by Nebuchadnezzar himself for the purpose of explaining his absence from and return to the throne that we're going to learn about here in just a moment. This was likely a decree that Daniel included in his book that went forth from Nebuchadnezzar throughout his entire kingdom, giving glory to who? Giving glory to God, in explanation as to what happened to him, as we're going to read about here from chapter 4. And it sounds like maybe Nebuchadnezzar was starting to get things right in reference to God. Let's see what led him to this revelation on his part. But as we do that, I want us to remember this verse here, Luke 14:11. It says, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. For whosoever exalteth, lifts up himself, shall be abased," which means to be brought low. By whom? By God. "And he that humbleth himself," submits himself in humility before the Lord, "he," God, "will" what? "He will exalt." Okay? And we read verses similar to this one many times in Scripture, and we see it portrayed here in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. So back to Daniel chapter 4 and beginning in verse 4. Daniel 4, beginning in verse 4. "Nebuchadnezzar was at rest. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream, which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof." Nebuchadnezzar, to begin with, in our chapter here, has a disturbing dream. Nebuchadnezzar had disturbing dreams before, if you'll remember, in Daniel chapter 2. This dream was particularly disconcerting for some reason. I think he feared that it was not a good message for him. And so he was concerned. And so he called the magicians and his counselors in, his heathen counselors, and they couldn't tell him the interpretation. Well, why? Because this dream came from who? This dream came from God. Now, not all dreams come from God. A matter of fact, most dreams today don't come from God. They just come from a gobbledygook that gets in our head that comes out at night. Okay, but this dream came from God, and there was a message to it, and they did not know it. But guess who did? Daniel. And so finally, Daniel comes before Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar shows him great respect, especially when it came to interpreting dreams. Because, as the king said, the Spirit of the Holy God was within who? Was within Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar recognized that the Holy Spirit dwelt within Daniel, and that there was something much different about him than his other counselors. Be assured, Christian, that the Spirit, the very same Spirit of the Holy God that dwelt within Daniel, dwells where? Dwells within us today. He will help and assist us in serving the Lord, just as he did Daniel. Probably not with interpreting dreams, but in serving the Lord, in speaking his word, which we have right here, we don't have to have it in a dream, ministering to others and standing for him. That Holy Spirit that dwelt in Daniel, that gave him that knowledge, that same Holy Spirit dwells within us. He helps us to understand the word of God, to apply it to our lives. He empowers us to walk in it and to follow the Lord today. We are indeed blessed with having that same Spirit. Acts 4:31, the early church, it says this, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness." The early church, they prayed on this particular occasion. In a rare form, God shook the place where they lived, where they were worshiping. But even more so, what was most important was the Holy Spirit enabled them to go out in a crowd of people who were not welcoming to them, and to preach the word of God with what? With boldness. The Holy Spirit does many things for us. He has sealed us into the day of redemption. He's baptized us into the body of Christ. He's given us spiritual gifts to be used in his service and in the church. One of the things he also does is he helps us to speak out boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ and the word of the Lord. You too can speak the word of God with boldness if you will seek God's help in prayer as they did. The Holy Spirit will help us too. And others will also recognize the Spirit of God in us, like Nebuchadnezzar recognized the Spirit of God in Daniel. That can also, should also, be true of God's people today. Continuing on in verse 10. Nebuchadnezzar continues, "Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow or shade under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof. And all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of mine head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven like an angel. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over. This matter is by decree of the watchers, by the demand of the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men." So this was the vision Nebuchadnezzar is describing to Daniel for him to interpret. He saw this tree. It was impressive, tall, strong, healthy. It provided food and shelter for a myriad of animals, beasts of the field, birds of the air. to shelter therein. There was an angel from heaven that came down with a decree from God. The decree was, chop down the what? Tree. Chop down the tree almost to the ground, just leaving a small trunk in the roots. Shake off the fruit, scatter the animals that were sheltered there, and change the heart from the heart of a man to the heart of a what? To the heart of the beast, to the heart of, we would say, an animal. Okay? And then in verse 17, it tells us the purpose of the dream, the purpose of the dream, as announced by the angel, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Who is the basest of men? That would be Nebuchadnezzar, okay? Nebuchadnezzar was not a fine example of refinement and morality and ethics and character. He was the basest of men, but yet God had placed him over the kingdom of Babylon. This reason, purpose for this dream is repeated in verse 25 and then again in verse 32. This is definitely the theme of this chapter, that God is impressing upon Nebuchadnezzar and others that who rules? That he does. That he sets up rulers. That he takes down rulers as he pleaseth. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Not sure if I have that up here or not. I do. Revelation, Romans 13, 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of who? But of God. And the powers that be are ordained of who? God. We are to be, even as Christians, children of God, we're to give unto Caesar the things that are what? Caesar's. Why? Because his power has been permitted by who? By God. And unless he tries to stop us from worshiping God or doing the things God has required, we are to respect the authority that is placed over us, because it represents the authority of God. Now, imperfectly, oh yes, but it represents the authority of God. Sadly, the politicians of our day seem to have forgotten where their authority comes from. And it may come back to haunt them. It is certainly haunting us. While they bicker amongst themselves, boast in their accomplishments, or lack thereof, and do everything they can to keep a hold of power, our country languishes in spiritual darkness and confusion and the void of godly leadership. How desperate we need godly leadership. Leadership that will recognize that their authority comes from God and give him the glory and go to him for advice and honor him in the decisions that they make. God is the answer for our leadership and for our country. Be warned, ye rulers, your time is short, and God is still where? God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. And for us as Christians, isn't that good to know that God is still on the throne? We see a foreboding interpretation in verse 19. Look, if you would, in verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said to Belteshazzar, let not the dream of the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. In other words, what I'm about to tell you is going to make happy your enemies. It ain't going to make you that happy. But those who hate you will like what I have to say. In other words, this isn't going to be pleasant. But here it is. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves are fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation, this tree is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times, probably 7 years, shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure or secured unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. So here is the interpretation. So we had the dream, now we have the interpretation. And when Daniel saw the interpretation, he was so astonished at what it was that for a moment he hesitated. Actually, for a few moments he hesitated, and Nebuchadnezzar said, no, I want to hear what it has to say. So he continued, and he didn't mince words, and he told Nebuchadnezzar exactly what God showed him. We'll come back to that in a minute. Let's look at Daniel's interpretation. He said to Nebuchadnezzar, you are the tree. Now, at first, that's pretty good, you know. This is a massive tree. It's a very impressive tree, a very healthy tree. It stretches out to the ends of the earth. It makes a habitation for all the animals of the field or the nations of the earth. Very impressive, the power that Nebuchadnezzar had. But just in a moment, all that power can be what? Can be taken away. All of that can be taken away because God rules in heaven. And God does as he pleases in the affairs of men. God decreed through this angel that the tree be cut down. That is, that Nebuchadnezzar be deposed from his throne. That he be given the heart of a beast. That he be deprived of his reason. He would go from being a very wise, in some ways, an intelligent man to a man that was a babbling fool, just like an animal. He was indicated that he would live not in the palace, but that he would live where? In the field. Because of his insanity that would come upon him, he would be deprived of his home, his shelter, and every last bit of his pride until seven times or till 7 years, most likely, would pass before Nebuchadnezzar would finally come to his senses and acknowledge that God is sovereign. At which point God says, because he left the roots in the stump there, God says, I will restore your kingdom to you. What is Daniel's advice? Look in verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, please consider my counsel. In lieu of this warning here from the God of heaven, repent of your sins and do right. Repent of your perversities and show mercy to the poor in your kingdom. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. The same advice that Christ gave to the people of his day. He said, unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The Jews thought, well, repentance, that's for the filthy Gentiles, not for us. Jesus said, no, unless you repent, you will perish just the same as they. You are sinners too, also in need of a Savior, just like Nebuchadnezzar was. Same as God's message to a growing and rebellious world today. God still calls us to do what? To repent, to turn from our wicked ways, and to bring forth the God of heaven and Jesus Christ. The same advice given by Daniel is the same today as it was then. Embrace God, Christ, submit to His will, and all will be well with you. But reject it, and you will go back. I want you to notice something. As I mentioned earlier, Daniel did not sugarcoat the message for his own or to pamper the king, which was probably the habit of the other counselors who wanted the king to be happy. People need to hear the why. Need to hear the truth. And I'm afraid too often from Christians, they get the watered down version. Oh, we give them the truth if we open our mouth. But often they get the watered down version, thinking we are doing them a favor by being nice. We are instead enabling them, like a friend continuing to give money to a drug addict so he can go out and buy more drugs. It may seem caring, but you are enabling something that is destroying them. When we water down the message of the gospel, when we fail to warn people of the judgment that is coming, we are watering down the message, and we are enabling them. With truth and love. We can and we must tell the truth out of a heart of love. Was that not what Daniel was doing? Nebuchadnezzar knew of Daniel's love. He knew of Daniel's loyalty. He knew of Daniel's honesty. And so he accepted it, albeit he did not act upon it at first like that. It is not our responsibility to make people hear and respond and heed the truth. But it is our responsibility as those who have the truth. Let people know there is right and there's wrong in a world that's trying to deny it. To let people know there is a God in heaven who judges and will judge. To let them know there is a Savior who came to die on the cross for their sins. That if they will repent and trust Christ, they can be saved. We must tell them love. Out of a heart of love. Out of a heart of concern. The great need that they have. They need so desperately to hear it. It is our prerogative, our privilege. Let's see what happened to Nebuchadnezzar in verse 28. So we see the vision, the interpretation, and now we have what happened. Verse 28. All this came upon the king, Nebuchadnezzar, just like was foretold in the dream. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom, by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty?" Did you notice the eyes and the mys? Look in verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, he did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. It happened just like God said it would. Just as Daniel interpreted the dream, it happened. Now, it took 12 months. Why? Because God is what? Long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. God has been long-suffering with us. He was long-suffering with Nebuchadnezzar. But the day came and judgment came, and Nebuchadnezzar took all the credit and all the glory for himself. Daniel 4:30 again. As he strolled through his gardens, he said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, the honor of my majesty?" And as he finished speaking, guess who else spoke up? God did. And God is always going to have the last what? He's always going to have the last word. Always going to have the last word. Nebuchadnezzar didn't listen to God. He ignored his warning. Are you ignoring God? Salvation? Your day is coming. Are you ignoring the Holy Spirit? If so, you are putting yourself in great jeopardy. It says here, Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He is not a statue. He is not a religion. He is not a fairy tale. He is not a myth. He is a living God. He is an almighty God. He is a just and holy God. And it is a fearful thing to put him off. It is a fearful thing to tell him no. It is a terribly, terrible thing to reject his message. Nebuchadnezzar didn't listen. And the day came. He took credit for himself. How about you? Do we take credit, even as God's children, for the job that we have? Is that all our doing? For our home? For our reputation? For our health? Our success? Our intelligence? Our family? Do we forget to give God the glory? In the New Testament, when Paul often wrote epistles to churches that he had planted, he didn't take the glory for himself. He gave the glory to who? God. He thanked God for them over and over again. He thanked God for them with joy, what God was doing. Do we thank God? Do we give him the glory he is due? If we're taking it for ourselves, you better watch out. God exalts those who humble themselves, but he brings low, abases those who exalt themselves. Nebuchadnezzar took the credit for himself, and it came. It was clearly identified by a voice from heaven. It was immediate, the same hour. It was inescapable, and it was complete. We're told in Numbers 32:23, "Be sure your sin will find you out." So will God's judgment come to you, and one day it will be final. Better learn and repent today, for tomorrow may never come. We're not assured of tomorrow. Better get right with God today. But tomorrow did come for the king. Did have a change of heart, and he was restored to his kingdom. He would in verse 34. "And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lift up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And all those that walk in pride, he is able to obey. He is able to obey. after 7 years, the king lifted up his eyes in submission and faith. God's mercy and grace restored him. He was blessed, and he blessed the God of heaven and gave him the credit he was due in return. In closing, turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 1 down through verse 9. And I want you, as we read of this, I want you to think about this story that we read about Nebuchadnezzar. That story was about Nebuchadnezzar. This story is about us. And I think you'll see that there are some parallels. Ephesians 2, 1. And you, hath he quickened. The word quickened means made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also ye all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That describes our plight before we came to Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man. You see, we were in a similar condition to Nebuchadnezzar. Spiritually, we were without reason. Led by the lust of the flesh, apart from God. When sin entered humanity, man was kicked out of the garden from God's presence. But through Jesus Christ and by God's grace, not by our works, we can be restored. And we who have come to Christ in faith and accepted his offer have been restored. As Nebuchadnezzar was. Nebuchadnezzar restored to the throne of his kingdom. We, in Christ, restore our relationship. We don't deserve it any more than Nebuchadnezzar did. It is only by God's what? By God's grace that we when we submit Lord, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, delivered, rescued, restored. Three lessons this morning from Daniel 4. Don't ignore God's warnings. He warns us in his word to flee the wrath to come. Have you done that? Have you fled to Christ? Have you embraced him by faith? Have you called upon him in repentance to be your Lord and Savior? If you have, you saved yourself. If you haven't, you are dead. Please come to Christ. Number two, you had better give God the glory he is due. Take it for yourself, and he will have to humble you to heart. And number three, if you're going to be light in the world, you have to speak the truth to those who need to hear it, even when they don't want to. Daniel spoke the truth to Nebuchadnezzar. He needed to hear it. So when God's judgment came, he already knew why. He could give God the glory, and he could turn and repent. It was important for Nebuchadnezzar to hear the truth. it's important for them to hear it too. And if they're not hearing it from us today, I'm afraid in many cases they're just not hearing it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for Daniel 4 and for the example that Daniel set. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of God we see expressed in the life of Nebuchadnezzar and the grace, Lord, that we have experienced in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray if there's one here today that's never trusted Christ, that as we give this hymn of invitation, they'll come. Lord, that we can show them from God's word how they can be saved. On the first verses we sing, Lord, let them come. And Lord, I pray, Lord, if there is a need in our heart, if we're taking credit that is yours today, that you might show us that, we might humble ourselves and give you all the glory, and that we might be willing to be the mouthpiece to testify to the world the truth of the gospel, the truth about God, his justice, mercy, and his love. In Jesus' name, amen.